we're not even going to understand what is going to take our own time. But I'm happy that there are members who manage to be allowed to go there. So hoping that they will brief us, because still we want every now and then to be there, especially after the incident. But let me take this opportunity, honourable member, that last meeting we achieved something, because everybody who was there was saying that that time which we were given them to explain what is going on and their challenges, there was no other platform except the committee that they must come and present their challenges, and you advise them accordingly, and they were there. I'm suspecting it was not, it was a fruitful meeting on that day, because they achieved, and we achieved something. On that note, to you, AG.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members.
Oh, just a moment. Oh, Honourable Members, can you look at the agenda? And as this table, we are proposing that let's do the briefing by Auditor General and the consideration of our budget vote only, because so many things are happening. We are even trying to prepare for our debate, and then let's leave the minutes. I'm proposing that. Honorable Nsawa?
Shall I support your proposal?
Anyone to adopt the agenda?
Yes. Move.
Honorable Nsawa, move. Any second? Honorable Deb? Thank you. In that, to you.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson and members and the Deputy Minister and everyone else in attendance. My name is Lawrence van Vieren. I'm the business executive who are responsible for your portfolio. To my right-hand side is Mr. Maurice Masekela. She's involved in the audit of the Department of Sport. We were requested to brief the committee on the results of the ITT reviews that we've done. And I think it's important that we just clarify up front that it's not the requirement that we do these ICT reviews at each and every entity. There are certain criteria that we use to decide on which entities we must do it. So in this case of your portfolio, we did it at the Department of Sports, because there were in the prior years some issues that had to be addressed. And we did it at Boxing SA, because there was a specific request for us to do it at Boxing SA. So at FADE, there was no specific review done. So this presentation will be not deal with FADE, because there was no request for us to do it at FADE. So the purpose of our briefing is to provide the committee with feedback on the results of this review that we've done. But just a reminder for the committee that it's not an audit that we do, it's actually a review that we do a year before the audit of that specific APP. So we do that review and I'll take you through what do we focus when we actually do that review. I see the screen is a bit dull. Let's continue. Now I can hardly see my slides. That's a bit too difficult. Okay, that's better. So this next slide, we believe it's a very important slide for the committee that you should actually be carrying with you throughout through the year to assist you in your oversight and to remind you from time to time what is it for you that you need to focus on. And that's why the slide is titled Key Committee Considerations when Reviewing the APPs. And key what the committee should also be looking at is there alignment between this APP and the MTSF? are the indicators relevant and complete? So as a committee, you understand the business of your department and your entities, and you continuously need to say to yourself, is this what is included in this APP aligned to, first of all, the legislation, to the NDP, but also to other objectives that you may have. Then very important is there a logical link between the objectives, indicators and targets. So if you read through an APP, it must literally be very easy for you to understand what is it that the entity actually wants to achieve here. Then the next level is to focus on it to say, how can this APP be achieved? Now it's very important that once an APP has been approved, that mechanisms are in place to ensure that those APPs are actually achieved, specifically those targets in the APP. So one of the mechanisms that should always be there is, for instance, in the various entities, there should be performance contracts. There should be performance contracts which are actually aligned to these measures and targets and objectives in the APP. But that will ensure that everyone in the system is focusing on actually achieving what is in the APP. And there shouldn't be misalignment. So if the APP is not been achieved, then you shouldn't have a situation where if you look at the individual performance contract, everyone has achieved what was in the individual performance contract, but what is in the APP has not been achieved. So it's very important for that in-year performance monitoring to take place. Then also very important, and it actually comes very close to the process which the committee is busy now at this point in time, and you should ask the question, are there adequate resources to do what is included in this APP that is going to be approved? Human resources as well as financial resources. So therefore it's very important that there's a clear link between what is in the budget and what is in the APP. And the entity should be able to draw that clear link to the committee. It's because if you have a budget which is not aligned to the APP, then there's a risk already right from the start that the objectives and targets in that APP will not be achieved. So it's very important during the budget review process to make sure that there's alignment between the APP and the budget. So if there's been significant budget cuts, for instance, then it's important that there's revalidation that takes place in the APP. But early on, if you make changes to the APP in the last quarter of the year, then it doesn't add any value, because then you will clearly be making that to show a result which you actually have achieved. So any changes that need to be made to an APP must then be made very, very early in the year. But the ideal is at the time of approval that the budget and the APP talk to each other in terms of human resources and in terms of the budget. Then it's very important to focus on at this point in time when you look at the APP is to look at the targets. First of all, to look, are they realistic? So there's a risk that over-realistic targets can be set in the group. There's also a risk that the targets that can be set are actually too easy to achieve and will actually then not result in the desired outcome. So these targets that are set must comply with what we call the SMART principles. In other words, when you look at the target, it must be specific. You must clearly define what must be done. It must be measurable. If you can't measure it, then you shouldn't be having that target, and you shouldn't be investing money into that target. A target should be attainable. Targets should be realistic, and very important, targets should be time-bound. You know, so there should be very specific targets that have been set by when a specific target should actually be achieved. Then very important is that the committee should then focus on the APP and the progress against the achievement of the targets on a quarterly basis. So entities, as part of the committee's program normally, that entities come and present it on the achievements against the actual targets. Now, during those quarterly reporting, the committee's focus must be, first of all, on interrogating the information and make sure that what is presented to you is accurate, and that the entity can actually substantiate that with supporting documentation. But secondly, to then track it in terms of progress. Are the entities on the target? Now, the ideal situation when targets are set, which is, and that's why we also say it's important that there are time frames linked to it. So if it's a quarterly target, it should be actually met on a quarterly basis. Annual targets are a bit different because you will check progress, but you will only be able to measure finality at the end of the financial year. But those are the risky ones because you have to rely on management representations. Yes, we'll make the target, and then there's a possibility at the end that it might not be met. Then at year end, the committee will do a review of the actual achievements then for the whole year. And then very important is that sometimes changes are made to annual performance plans. And I alluded to it earlier on to say if changes are made to the annual performance plans, it should not be made too late in the year because that would not achieve the desired result. And of course, if changes are made, it should be approved at the right level. So it should at least go to the minister for approval, and it should be communicated to the committee that there are actually changes that have been made to these activities. The next slide, just on a high level, then gives you a bit more detail of what do we actually do when we do these review of the APPs. We look at the process that the departments and the entities follow, and our key focus is only on measurability and relevance at that point in time. And that is to make sure that what ultimately gets approved, once we come a year later and we do the audit, that there won't then be any challenges remaining with measurability and with relevance. The findings that we pick up during this review is communicated to management in an audit finding format. Management then has got the option of either adjusting or to not adjust. If management do not adjust, those findings will go into the management report of the entity for that specific year, but it won't be in the audit report for that year. It will only end up in the audit report of the next year when we actually then finally report to Parliament. But management then has got enough opportunity to actually take our recommendations into consideration and to make those adjustments. If we then lastly just look at the criteria in a bit more detail, so we said we are focusing mainly on measurability and relevance. So when we look at measurability of indicators and targets, we are looking whether they are well defined, whether they are verifiable. So right from a planning stage, it must be verifiable. You must write a planning stage already set out in clear documentation to say what is the information that will enable me to verify this actual target, and what do we have to keep on a daily, monthly, and quarterly basis to satisfy first of all ourselves as management that we've achieved this target, but secondly that we will be able to convert an internal or an external auditor to get the convincing evidence that we've actually achieved the target. In the targets, we're also focusing at that point of the review whether the targets are specific, measurable, and timely. Those are the SMART principles that I talked about. When we look at relevance, the focus is then on whether these targets are relevant to the mandate and the strategic goals and objectives. And of course, then we look at the legislation, what are the various legislative mandates in cases where there are legislation. Otherwise, we are also guided by the NDP. To check for alignment with the NDP. So as I've indicated earlier, we've done two reviews. The first one was done on the Department of Sports and Recreation. We had findings on two programs, the Program 2 and Program 5. And you'll see there's a note at the bottom of the slide. We said the department has made the changes to the technical indicator descriptions, which means what has then been tabled as of the department has already addressed those findings in writing table. So at this point in time, it has these findings have been dealt with. Now the two key areas was basically that when we did the review at that point in time, non-financial support was not clearly defined. And that's very important that the kind of support are clearly defined, because when we measure in the end of the day, we must measure against clearly defined criteria. So the department then went and actually changed that. On relevance for that specific program, we had no findings. Our second finding we had on paragraph 5, where it was not clear what the technical support would impose. So the target would say that the technical support would be provided to municipalities. But that technical support was not clearly defined. It's very important once again to upfront identify that, link it to a budget, and so that that technical support can actually be measured as it is being implemented, or if it's not implemented, it's clear to say, but you set out to do the following technical support and the following has not been done or no evidence to be provided. Once again, there were no findings on relevance. And just to emphasize again that the department has fixed this findings in the APT that's been tabled. So the department took value from this review that we've done. The second review was then done on boxing. On boxing, we have findings on program 2. First of all, on measurability, there were no findings on relevance. But on measurability of program 2, our finding was that the assistance was not defined in terms of what will be regarded as assistance. So the measure said that assistance will be extended to associations. But again, the assistance, what actual assistance will be rendered, needs to be defined already at planning stage in the APT. Now you'll see there's the note at the on the large slide says that the entity has agreed to make the changes. So what has happened is that the APT that has been tabled does not yet include these changes, and that's important to note. But we went again with boxing management and they agreed that they will go and make these changes. So even after tabling, they will go back, they will go to the minister, they will get the minister to approve these changes, and they will make these changes in the APT. It's critical. If they're not going to make these changes in the APT, that will result in audit findings in the audit report. So this is something that the committee should just keep an eye on in your next engagement with boxing, to specifically inquire from the management of boxing. Have they now addressed these audit findings from the auditor general in the APT, and they should actually present those that new changes to the audit committee with the minister's approval. So the second one was on program 3, where the requirement on the program deals with marketing and communication strategy, and again the marketing and communication strategy, it was not clear and specific what will be implemented in terms of this strategy. Again, that must be specified up front right now at the beginning of the year so that that can be tracked and that can be measured specifically. I think I skipped this apart now. So let's just go back to the previous slide. So I dealt with program 3, program 2, so program 3, boxing promotion reports and implementation of boxing information provision. So here the requirement is that certain information needs to be provided. Now again, that information that needs to be provided has not been clearly defined up front. And that is what we said is that the indicator needs to be specific by boxing to actually now really clearly indicate what is that information that will be provided. The next slide then, program 3. Boxing promotion, revenue generation strategy. Again, there was just a mention made of a revenue generation strategy, but it was not specific on what will that strategy actually entail. And it's very important that you actually define upfront what will be in that strategy so that those individual steps in the strategy can be measured, and if you can actually easily measure in the end of the day whether that strategy has actually been achieved or not, because you're actually now dealing with a strategy in a APT. So it's important that strategy be clearly defined and clearly assessed throughout the year to ultimately be able to determine has that strategy actually been achieved or not. The last one is then the marketing and communication strategy. And again, as I've indicated, that this strategy was not specific in terms of what will be in the strategy, and that needs to be done, and the management of boxing should clearly define in the APT what will actually be included in that strategy. Just to emphasize again that for boxing, these findings have not yet been addressed in the version that has been tabled, and that they should take action to now make the necessary changes, and the committee should follow up that those changes have been made soon in this new financial year so that they can actually be measured against that. Chairperson, that's our presentation. We are available for any questions.
Thank you so much, AG. I'm suspecting you do appreciate that what you were saying, that sometimes you must decide and you may decide whether you can come to the committee. But I've seen the relevance of you here because what we have said about boxing South Africa, we needed to get that information. Another member, let's engage in all of that. Let's switch off this presentation. Another person, another from Congo, another from in that sort of thing.
Chair, thanks very much. I think the most important thing here is that we look at a process, and we also rely on a lot of the reporting. And I'm interested to know, in terms of oversight, what the department can do, the department to actually oversight, because I assume it's almost an audit function, so you're really relying just on the reports that are given to you. But for boxing, let's say, you know, you're looking at a process, but a lot of the time, allegations have come up stating, you know, looking here or looking here. The same with the sports trust, which is almost another layer compared to what SRSA would report on. How do your tentacles reach to those depths where you can actually confidently say that you rely on this 100%, you rely on the information that you're auditing 100%?
I think, Chair, the welcome presentation has been covered, but I wanted to find out, especially on DSA, your comment saying auditing to build public confidence under me. Can you maybe explain yourself, especially, it's only program 2 and 3 that they didn't comply. Now, what mechanism or what strategy are you using for? Yes, you've notified us that when they come in our next meeting, maybe myself, but I'm saying maybe directly to the department, because these are chairs for Tibanaba Lola. Maybe the question is, what mechanism or what measurables have you done, in a sense that are there any changes? Where is the list of those changes? When are they going to be implemented? Maybe the question must be directed to them on that. Because I fail to understand that your slide only on boxing South Africa is an issue, and you've been raising this for some time with the department. And to you, you are saying you must ask them late at a later stage when they come and present. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to find out, what did the department tell you? Maybe. What did they do? And maybe direct again to the department, maybe the looks for them. But thank you, Chair. You welcome the presentation.
Thank you, Honorable.
No, Chair, just two issues. In terms of quarterly achievability of the target, because so far that has been the issue. But if you take it accumulative for a year, they will find that they have complied. So what is your take if we are to concretely recommend, because already we have been assessing, and our view is that they might have to push back their quarterly targets so that they comply with the achievement. of each target, because that is the issue. Each time they say they don't have it, because at quarter 3 and 4, it's only then that you see that we have achieved the target. So far, I mean, for the past 3 years. My second question relates to the audit outcome, because the audit outcome, you have made us to believe that every year we should have the audit outcome when we deal with the union. So it looks like this time we are not getting that. Whereas they should have wrapped up last year's spending and all of that, so that we can have an audit finding. If I can make an example, I mean, the budget debates, other budget debates have taken place, and some were saying, we are happy that the department has achieved yet again a clean budget. So that is why we were worried whether we need to go into the debate without knowing exactly the audit outcome, because we know that the department most probably will get a clean audit. But we wanted to be sure that it must come from not the department or what we suspect, because I mean, normally what we were dealing with normally does not have an impact on the audit outcome. You had told us, maybe later on it will be factored into, but at the moment, in terms of the financing, that is quite critical to just get an indication from yourself, whether can we simply praise the department that they have achieved a clean audit, because they've been one of the best departments so far. So are you saying this time we must keep quiet?
Thank you, AG, Department.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and members. Let me start with question number 4. Honourable Chairperson, if I understand the question correctly, it's about what the audit outcome will be for 17-18. Now, I think we must just look at the time frame. So in the BRRR process, we gave the committee feedback about the 16-17 audit outcome. That was October last year. So for your 17-18 financial year, we are now only starting with the final audit. So these audits will only be completed end of July, and we will only have the audit outcome end of July. So the Auditor General cannot at this point in time give any indication of an outcome of any entity. So we don't even know as we sit here what the outcome will be for the Department of Sports or for any of the entities. I think the one thing that I maybe can note that I thought might have a link, but again I think you must just get final confirmation from the entity. I think last year there was an issue with SAIDS that they exceeded the budget. The indications that we got from reviewing the fourth quarter report is that it looks like it was managed and did come in within budget this year. But again, remember, at the final financial statement stage, when they prepare their financial statements now end of May, and they put through all the accruals, it's possible that you might have a different picture. So I think that is something that I can share with the committee. But other than that, you know, we're not in a position at this point in time to give you any assurance. When it comes to the quarterly target, that is a very important one. So it's about planning and how you set your target, because you must clearly define whether it's a quarterly target or whether it's an annual target. So we typically find that entities struggle to make targets in quarter one, and then starts to pick up towards quarter three, and then we see the rush towards quarter four to meet the targets. You'll also see it in the expenditure things. That remains a planning issue. And that's why I said it earlier on as well when I went through that overall slide. So it's definitely something that the company should focus on, because there is a risk that if you haven't made it in quarter one, that you might not made it at the end. So it's a risk that needs to be focused on, and ideally entities should try to plan better. So whenever a quarterly target is not made, the committee should focus in on it, and the committee should get assurance from the entity that they are putting measures in place to enable them to meet that target in the end of the day. So, and the focus should be on planning and allocation of resources. Why do you then plan for it to do it in quarter one if you know you must still do a detailed strategy or a detailed plan? Then rather say, for quarter one I want to get there, I only want to have my plan ready, but for quarter two I will actually have done the following. If I can then go back to the first question, and I'm not sure whether I understand the question, but I'll try my best to explain it. So we are auditing the Auditor General is currently auditing the department, and it's auditing SAFE, and it's auditing Boxing SA. Then there are monies that are transferred to other entities within the sports environment. We are currently not the auditors of those entities. But we do, to a certain extent, there are certain requirements for getting this money. So we will, on a selective basis, order the requirements have they met the requirements to receive that money. And similarly, in the department, the department will exercise oversight in how that money is being spent. But if something then happens specifically in that entity at this point in time, it is not within our current mandate to go in and investigate what's happening in that specific sports organization, because we are not currently the auditors of that sports organization. But if you look at the Treasury Regulations, Regulation 8, talks about transfer payments, and it talks about conditions that the accounting officer can set when he makes transfer payments to entities. Now, that conditions actually empowers the accounting officer to do various things. He can upfront set conditions for those transfers. He can also set reporting requirements for those transfers. And the accounting officer can, for instance, what we find that happens in some environments is that the accounting officers will, as part of the conditions of that transfer that is made, they will say to the entity, I'm transferring to you this money, here's the conditions, and one of the conditions is that you need to provide, as an entity, need to provide me with what we call an audit certificate. You need to get your auditors to certify the following for me. And that condition is that you want the auditor to certify, the accounting officer can set up front. So the accounting officer can specifically specify, I want you to your auditors to go and verify for me the following with respect to the specific money that is given to you. So there are options in terms of Treasury Regulation 8, what the accounting officer can use to exercise oversight over that. Then there's the question about, and I was also not sure that I understood that question, but so how it works is we do this review, and let's take boxing as an example, because I think that's where the concern is at this point in time. So we do the review, we communicate the findings with boxing. It is then the responsibility of the management of boxing to address those findings, first of all, because remember, boxing in terms of legislation, it's got their own board, which is the accounting authority. So in terms of the legislation, they actually assume final accountability for that. These IPPs are also being reviewed by the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation. So there's another review that takes place. And then, you know, like I said, I think the final responsibility rests with them. If there's an expectation from the committee that, that the department should also be involved in that, you know, I think it is something that will have to be discussed, you know, because yes, the department makes a transfer to the entity, which means that the department can set certain conditions. So maybe in those conditions, the department can decide to bring in some mechanism to ensure that the performance information is also at the required level. I think that that covers all the questions, but please remind me if I have any questions.
Before
we
follow up, let me give this the opportunity to the department and then I'll resolve two things.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning to the honorable member of the committee and the exposition. I think, in as far as the review of the APP is concerned, we have to perhaps indicate to the committee the procedure and the process that is followed, which I think the AG has not necessarily outlined quite personally. Prior to us finalizing the APP, we would do what we call draft one, which is take the current APP we have, which has already been approved, and look at the performance for the previous year and how we have fared on it, and whether there were difficulties with achieving some of the targets, and whether we have overachieved on certain targets. We'll also look at our quarterly monitoring and review report that we formulate this quarter as we saw. And we also take what the committee has come to account here, also offers and notes and directs that we also do and correct. And in that, we formulate what we now call draft one, which is the third draft of our future APP for the following year. We take that draft one, we subject it to all the units of the department and ask all the directorates to make their own inputs on draft one. And some of the things the committee may have noted and has suggested, the practitioners in this workspace working may not find favor with what is being said. Our attitude has always been that as a higher authority, our job is to try to see how the wishes of the committee and all other people, including the AG and everybody, how to make those things realizable. And I think from where the units make their contribution and that becomes our number two. Draft two, we then send it to our own internal departmental retreat, where now the whole department sees everyone from the level of the deputy director upwards come to a retreat with the management and the ministry and everyone. There we get directives from the ministry in terms of the new priorities. We also look at the agreement the president has signed with the minister in terms of performance, try to infuse those things into draft two. And after the retreat, we come out with draft three. After we have done draft three, we then send it to DP and the Department of Quality Monitoring and Evaluation in the Presidency, who are the custodians of the framework for compliance in as far as this is concerned. And we then send it to them. They have a review of that. And the advantage is that these works start quite heavy in many departments. So we've got plenty of time to give to these people to have a look and have a take, and also to give us their feedback. And then they will tell us the gaps where we are not compliant. We put that in, and we match thereafter with draft form. It is draft form which we then give to the AG, even before the court comes and before the audit happens, even before we table it here. We give it to the AG to have a look at it. So this review is a review that was performed even before the APT was announced. And that is what came about. And they give us their feedback and identify. From that process, and largely the AG knew much more about it than us. And that they would look at the standards which they are going to apply in order to say, in order to in this area, this is where we think we are going to find the big opportunity in terms of understanding and interpretation of what you are saying. We think that clarify this match and clarify that one so that we are at medium about what is being meant, so that when we measure you, we can measure you understanding and any common understanding between us. Or this matter is so big, or the targets are so big, strengthen this or improve this, or this appears to be not correlating, or this section completely absent. They are free to look at it in totality and to indicate what needs to be done. We then factor all of that that the AG has set in and finalize our draft, which then becomes the draft file. That draft file is then sort of our final product, SME. At that point, it's routed to the Ministry for approval before being tabled to Parliament. The Minister is the final editor, by the way. So it is at that point it may change, which we may end up drafting, because the Minister may at the last minute decide, I want to add this as well, or I want to take up this one, or I've changed my mind about this or that. So there may be that, and we may end up with draft 6. But most of the time, it is this final draft 5 that we then, after approval by the Minister, we table it here, and we come and present it before the committee, and the committee debates it, and it is the basis on which the budget is then allocated by the Appropriations Committee, and that budget then comes and is the budget for the priorities in the area. So that's the procedure. So the likelihood, in all fairness, with the process that needs portfolio, is that you will hardly ever find the time when we arrive here and we and the AG are blockheads about it. And that's why now we are encouraging our entities as well to now follow this and to follow that. If they do, reporting this final draft to the AG before tabling and the AG reduce it in advance, then there will be no need later for the AG to do a review after it has been tabled. And then we arrive here only to say they still have to make changes. Because that process of making a change to the AGP means that the committee will have to work twice. We have to do the same job twice. After it has been changed and the minister accepted the changes, they must still retable it here. And they must still present it afresh. And you must still now consider it in totality. And we still have got to ask for certification from the treasury, because the targets may change and every other thing. And that may mean that by doing the adjustment budget, the Appropriations Committee is also requested to realign the funding with the priorities if the changes are made. So I think I wanted to clarify that process. And I'm indirectly answering the question, what do we need and what are doing about it? The AG is correct. First and foremost, we are not supposed to interfere largely in the running of the entity. The reason why you establish an entity and you don't make it the chief directorate in the department is primarily because you want them to have some degree of autonomy and to run as a well-oiled machine outside you. So you can't be running their daily affairs. There are certain things that we do. And the minister, when she appoints the board, she has to look at people of competencies across the board and satisfy herself. And that is why, often than not, there is a consultative process on the appointment of those boards with the committee. So that if you believe that the minister has not complied with the act in constituting a board, you can then take her to task about that. But generally, once you satisfy yourself that she has complied, then it is left to that board to determine what then becomes the key priority of government. The only thing that we do for our entity is the so-called demanding paper of spinning out the priorities that we think that each of the two entities must issue. For instance, we will set for them, like in the case of boxing, that they will get an unqualified audience. in the case of things, we say to them that your mandate is to get the clean water. In terms of the other prioritization, we tell them that address this procurement finding that the AG has put forth. We will tell them in that and say so. And we also have like quarterly meetings with them to monitor that indeed they are implementing this. So to give a direct answer, yes, we are doing something about it. But secondly, you will see that in next year's mandate paper, or this year's mandate paper for next year, it will be saying to them that also follow the process that we are following in finalization of it. And that way it will resolve the whole host of issues. And I must say to this committee that we as a department have learned that we are even at the stage where now we are discussing this in this way. Because just 2 financial years ago, we were discussing why has Brookfield not submitted an APP. But we have overcome it. We are long over that hurdle. We rather now concerned with the quality of the APP itself, and to the extent that you can see the great improvement with what has happened there. And they are making milestones that we too can't stop the system. We can't demand the clean audit from day one with an entity that was more bound and well. But it has made tremendous progress, and I think we have to commend the previous board and the current one and the new management there and the work that they have done up until now. And you can even see that their issues are no longer a virus. It's sweet and short, and we are confident ourselves that in our money paper for this year, for next year, we are taking them a target to achieve the community. So, And Minister has met with the new board, and we are pursuing it in that way. There is even growth for the export of those things in the whole region. So we have made progress. But let me come back to the next issue that Honorable Batman has raised. And this is an issue that he raises about the extent to which the audit concerns are denied and the issues that people are allegations that will be. At the outset, we receive so many allegations every day. So many people write to the presidential hotline. So many write to the Public Service Commission, alleging irregular appointments or this, that. Others are alleging this, that, that. Some write to the public protector. On average, we deal with about 20 to 30 investigation by this Chapter 9 institution here. It's huge, and the cost of accounting is huge. And unfortunately, the attitude of this entity is that each allegation must be debated. So we must assign resources to respond to all of this. And somehow, they refuse to place reliance on each other's work. It's possible that the same person may complain to the AG on the same matter and complain to the public protector and also complain to the presidential hotline. And we find ourselves dealing with one complaint but dealing with 3 institutions. Each of them wants information packaged differently and in their own format. And each of them have their own investigative procedures that we must follow through on each and every one of them. And the first one is the huge example. Each year for 4 years, I've just been digital. But in those 6 years, 4 years, twice the same person, a certain pseudo-journalist, he calls himself Graham Jose. He writes for no specific newspaper, whatever. He has a blog online. He calls himself a journalist. He can make any allegation any day. And he makes an allegation that says there is something untoward about what we and the sports are doing. And he writes to the AG, writes to the presidential hotline, writes to the public protector. And on 2 separate occasions in that foyer, all these entities. And when, because we also sit on the board of the sports trust. And when the sports trust was started, we were not in here. We were not in here. But the sports trust was started by the late Minister Dick Church. And after he had a business breakfast with top 40 organizations on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, and he asked them, why is it that they are not investing money in this one? And they answered him nicely. Mr. Minister, we don't trust you with our money. Or rather, we don't have government or this federation, of course, because they have a history of not accounting. And indeed, back then, there were so many federations which were like 3 years behind with their books. They have not been audited for 3 years. Some of them were allegations running all over the front pages of newspapers, and they had charged the money from the lottery and they didn't account for it. There were those things back then. And Minister Chatter said, all right, if I entrust in you guys, and I say, you keep your money, don't give it to us, but spend it on building sports facilities in your community, and so on, you will be amenable to another issue. They said, yes, no, we think we can do that. And that was the best of the first part. So the first was registered with government as a trustee, a founding trustee, with one seat, and the rest of the companies that they are asked to resolutions to support this thing. NetBank was the first one to come on board, and it also opened the so-called sports trust account, the check account. When you take that check account, every citizen who opens the check account, they donate 12.50% to the trust. And Coca-Cola came on board, Sun International came on board, Super Sports, SAB, Harmony Gold. I can go on and on about the list of the trustees that are there. Each and every one of those has one seat on the board. Now, you can also immediately understand. Government has very limited influence about what happens on that board. We only have one seat. There are just so many other professionals who sit on that thing. And I don't think that these companies with such big brands and reputations would want to do something untoward on building of sports companies because government is there. You know, I'm just saying. So over the years, we ourselves, back then Minister Chatter said, we will match whatever these companies are putting rent to rent. So you will imagine that if Harmony Gold puts in 10 million, it means government must put 10 million. If Coca-Cola puts in 5 million, we must put another 5. It was just unsustainable. We can't agree to that. So we have to change the trust deed over the years and agree that we will give them an administrative grant. And the rest of the money from the companies that are putting money in will go straight to the facilities. Some of those facilities our minister opened them up and so on. And we too over there started also contributing towards the building of some of the facilities. So that's the story between us and the sports trust. Both the AG, we as a trustee, voted on the board of the sports trust to say, although we have our own auditors as the sports trust, let us allow the AG to vote, to also, you know, be able to audit the trust and particularly the portion of the funds that SRSA gives to the sports trust. AG have done this way. Almost every year now, in the sample of the federations or the non-profit organizations who are funding, the sports trust is part of that work. And over those years, I just wish that they can report to you what findings that they received from there themselves. And the two investigations by the public protector, which have cleared us. Unfortunately, the former public protector had mentioned that when she announces an investigation, the big media fanfare, and when she doesn't find anything and closes the investigation, she just went to an end. But she doesn't call another fanfare to say, you know, I lose them, they were nothing. But that doesn't happen. And on many of the investigations, whether he said the DM was applied to his he flies too much, he's always in the air when that he gets a chance to write. And when now they ask us to submit the data, it took us 3 months. I think DM knows it. It took us 3 months. And we had to take half of the stuff in finance to just go backwards. Because, I mean, our DM is the longest serving in 15 years. 13 years, Mr. 13 years. So, and if you say since he became in office, you really understand, even over the years, how many travel agents we have changed. And we now must go back to all of them and ask for records of where did you fly to, when, and how, and package this information. It took us 3 months. Half of our staff were out of circulation for 3 months, just to focus on responding to the public protector. And then there was no apology, nothing whatsoever. He found nothing. Everything was well about God, and everything
was done properly as it's supposed to. And then we just got a letter saying the essential financial investigation is closed. But the 3 months and all the work and the abuse that you have gone through doesn't matter. And so while no one refuses that we must account, but I think there must also be reasonableness, considering the capacity we have, particularly where allegations are repeated, you know, and where people just, they try here and they think that maybe public protector is slow, they try there, and then the presidency also calls us and account for this, and they write to the National Treasury, they send us a letter saying, whether at least the Treasury accepts when we give them the letter from the public protector, say, that thing was with their truth, and then they say, all right, it's closed. But you can only imagine, if at that point nothing was investigated, it means that we must have another process. So we welcome that, and we think, and we are the first ones to ask the agencies, particularly the entities we don't really trust, and also the entities that we believe by our standards are getting the highest budget, must always be in the sample of the agencies to go look, because they will give us so-called combined assurance. They would, for where our internal audit has no capacity to audit, because we can't reach everybody every year. We can only sample, we can take 5 this year, maybe 10 next year, and so on. But we must share with the AG the workloads. We encourage them, the ones that they do get, we normally don't do that. We place reliance on what they tell us. And if they do find something with those entities, trust us, you see in our dashboard and in our action plan, we put those measures in place to follow them up. And AG knows, last time they went to basketball and they found some problems. Did we fund basketball over the last 2 years? No. Until they address those key concerns, we're not going to fund them. It's a simple as that. And where I'm sitting is not rocket science, but yeah, we would welcome and cooperate any day with any Chapter 9 institution as the chief investigator.
Thank you, DJ. I've seen Honorable Alcantinis, Honorable Bergman, were thinking that it's just going to take few minutes, but because we've called the AG and department and they are trying to answer the questions, I don't know what is the time for you to begin the answer of the indicate. Honorable DJ and Honorable Bergman.
Thank you very much, Stano. It's just a clarity question for the AG on the response that he gave, Mr. Pantil. I'm just trying to ascertain whether I've listened correctly. That you were saying the auditor of your Section 3A, public entities, it has different auditors than the auditor general is. I'm just trying to, and then I want to have a follow up on that one. Yes.
Okay, who's going to respond? Are you done?
Well, Madam Chair, I'm just trying to just know if it's like that because I have a further question. If it's like that. And he asked, okay, I just came yesterday in the portfolio. So my
now he has been in the portfolio. I got right to ask that question. Let's wait and hear the answer. Honorable Bergman.
Jill, I think both explanations and both translations of what I was saying were relevant. DG. DG, through you, Chair, can expect another question of what were those 30 complaints? If you can have a report, if those 30 complaints please in the finalisation
answer,
just the topics and just what the outcome was and all those 30 per year complaints. But we'll just last year's complaints, if possible. But I think what I'm getting at is a lot of the time we get everyone's all focused on the Auditor General's report and a clean audit and everyone celebrates and cracks open the champagne, only to hear a year later that, oof, there's irregularities here, there's irregularities there. So it has been explained, it's just a statement. I'm happy with both explanations and I appreciate both things, the explanations. I think somewhere along the line, though, we as a committee have to be more introspective on the data that we're given. And it's, you know, and I say that off the back of reading, you know, watching the Sasquatch testimony, that a lot of the time we ask questions and a lot of the time we get the, oh, yeah, no, everything's fine, everything's good, you know, this wild old man or this angry old man. And then you read, then you listen to the testimony and things come out that we've already asked, and maybe the reliability on that is problematic. Now, given both explanations, the duty really then falls within us to hold not just the executive to account, but to hold the relevant, you know, the relevant people that come to present to us. And, you know, I think, first of all, there's no such thing as a short meeting in the DG room. Let's all acknowledge that. But I really do appreciate that, you know, they go through their process. Their process is in their opinion, strong. But then we must be more interrogative in our questioning of the people that appear in front of us.
Honorable members, that's why the committee, when we received a written indication that there's nothing that is happening or all is well, we felt that once we're going to debate, we must debate with informed information. So I'm suspecting Honorable Ahmed, we are sharing our own views as a committee, that we don't want to go and mispresent the department and AG. We must debate with informed information. So that's why we are patiently listening and taking some advices or some information that we're not even knowing. And if we were to go and debate with assumptions, maybe we're going to be embarrassed when all of them coming back saying that, you know, what you have said, this is not correct. That's why committee every now and then must interrogate the department and the rest. If we can have an answer, AG, thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. So, to understand what the AG audits and what we don't audit, we need to look at the two pieces of legislation. The Constitution, for instance, says that the Auditor General will audit all national and provincial departments and municipalities. So then it's by law, the Auditor General has to audit. Then if you look at the Public Audit Act then also gives a bit more guidance in terms of what the Auditor General should audit and not. So you get to a point, it's certain legislation traditionally used to say the Auditor General will audit this entity. So let's take, for instance, one that comes to my mind, South African Bureau of Standards, CSIR. If you look at the enabling legislation, there will be a clause in there which says you will be audited by the Auditor General. So then the auditor will cover the legislation. Then we get the entities that we call the so-called Section 4.3 entities. So if you look at Section 4.3 of the Public Audit Act, it then says other entities which are not specifically prescribed by law, if the following criteria is applicable, the Auditor General may audit. So it doesn't say that the Auditor General must audit, it says the Auditor General may audit. So there's a list of entities that then fall in that category. So from time to time then a decision is then being made by the Auditor General, is he going to audit it or is he not going to audit it? And on an annual basis, the auditors of those entities, or those entities must on an annual basis consult with the Auditor General on the appointment of their auditors if the Auditor General has not opted to audit them. So one must look in the context of each and every entity, what legislation determines whether the Auditor General must or can. So if there are specific entities that you would like us to to give you feedback on them, then you know, you can tell us which those entities those are, and then we've got a capacity building session scheduled with the committee for the 12th of June. Then we can, in that meeting, we can give feedback to say, well, these are the entities that that falls within section 14 of that report.
Members, I'm respecting that if I wanted to say something, I can release the department. And thank you so much, AG. We were not disrespecting you. We wanted to do the oversight. So, honorable members, let's release them and then focus on the second point in the agenda. Thank you so much.
No, I'm asking you, look, there is this problem of order ceremony in South Africa.
Right.
I hope we never put it on the meeting on the thing. Yeah. No, because we can't rely on all these order firms that will have professional I think that is important.
Well,
this year,
the
only general meeting is
Okay,
good. Thank you. But I hope we get a note of this. I do want to see it. No, when do you do you look at the proportion
page by page, and we added some information. members who were present and those who were not present, they can add. This is our final day. It took so long because of, you know, the cradle of the committee not having relevant people to be aware. Again, let me take this opportunity to thank our secretary to rescue us, because without him, we were not going to have this report. Honorable members, do you support what I'm proposing? Do you want any other way that we must handle? I don't want to be accused of wanted on my own way how to do the report. It's just proposal. I was not clear to you, honorable members. I'm saying honorable members again, I'm repeating. Some honorable members, they don't like to talk in the meeting. If some are not here, everybody is going to keep quiet. Let's try to be in, all of us involved. Honorable Bergman.
Chair, I wasn't here for the actual reports. I've read through it, obviously. It was emailed to me. But obviously our party line is that we're just to present our caucus first and get their buy-in as well. So at this stage we would always reserve our right on a report like this.
Thank you, honourable members. Honourable
Chair, I would actually suggest that, honourable Chairperson, our attention get drawn to the committee observations and the recommendations, how we have discussed it, because it actually must flow into the other one. And then I think we can proceed now.
Can we proceed? I'm giving anyone... let's note what Honorable Bergman is saying, and to this committee is not new what he is saying. They will come in the committee in order that we must have a quorum, and then they will be reserving their... Okay. Are we? Okay.
No, Jay, I'm fine.
Can you press your mic?
Because I did go through, and you remember we last year we also tabled it in the last meeting. So it's the second part. So I just wanted to make a slight additional recommendation. Is there, in fact, on recommendation G? Yeah, no, it's there. The last one is just around the performance targets. Because last time we had made the point that they need to put back the targets to quarter 3 and 4. Rather than have from quota one, because they never achieve, and it ends up clumsy that each time we say you haven't achieved your targets.
But honourable members, what honourable how are they going not to have the targets when they are meeting? If we are saying that their targets, they must be in quarter 3, but they will be meeting and prepare for quarter 1 and 2. And in fact, that's what Nodiji was saying. So I wanted that we must be very clear what we want to do. Because if we are having a meeting of the strategy for sense of themselves, and then they must come up with something. So quarter one and quarter two, they're supposed to be there, and but to achieve one another thing. So if now we're going to suggest that their targets must be put on quarter three, what are they going to put in quarter one and two? I'm saying it's an open discussion with us now, because when they are having their own strategy, they are there in order that they must have their final discussion, and they will be putting quarter one, quarter two, but as the committee, we are seeing and the department, they are not achieving, but we can't say, I'm subject to be corrected, we cannot tell them that don't put anything in quarter one and two, but let's discuss saying that it need to be looked at, because any targets that they are putting in one and two, they are not fulfilling those targets. So I'm suspecting it's a point, but I'm suspecting you can't have a strategy and not to put something. But what we observed that whenever they are putting in quarter one and quarter two is not achievable, they must try to look at strategies in order that not as we're sitting here, we find that nothing has happened on their proposal. So I'm saying that's my view, and Honorable is right, but I'm suspecting that we cannot debate, but we can propose that our findings, we've seen that whatever you propose and put in quarter one and two is not achievable. So that's my input. I wanted that we must reshape this recommendation, which is very important. Any intake? Honorable Musa.
No, I would not.
Please,
press. No, thank you very much. I think you have said it a mouthful, Chairperson, and I think I agree 100% with what you say. You know, with the issue that was raised by Honorable Alekhoma, and you then, you know, sort of panel meeting it. I think I like it in that fashion. Thank you very much.
Okay. Any other thing, Honorable Members? I'm presenting the report of the committee to the committee for adoption. Any proposal of adopting of the report? Honorable Alkhom?
I move for the adoption.
Thank you, Honorable Alkhom. Any Honorable Musi?
I miss it.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. We were not able to start prepare. Please switch off that our debate, because we wanted to be informed by AG and Department discussion today and the adoption of the report. We have noted in this adoption the reservation of the DA, and we have two parties which are, I don't know whether I'm right when I'm doing this, but I wanted that we have noted the reservation of Honorable Bergman and the apology of Mudeka and the apology of Mr. Mabika, but the committee was corrected because Honorable Bergman and Honorable Mhlongo, they were present. So all is in all, can members go and prepare for the debate for Tuesday, hoping that we must have a robust debate. With those words, thank you very much, Honorable Members. We know that we were just having a very tight program of Parliament, but I'm appreciating that the members of the committee, they're always in their social clusters. We cannot be culprits when the report of Parliament is saying that the debates are empty. you're always there. I'm appreciating that this committee, we still have committed leaders. I thank you. The meeting is closed.